The long and winding road leads us here to the doorstep of the postseason. One win, a little bit of help away from ending 17 seasons of misery.
Allen steps up. Jumps over the defenders to pick up the first. Now, how many quarterbacks have you ever seen hurdle anyone?
Oops, he throws. Touchdown! Andre Reed for the touchdown! The Bills have scored!
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. You are listening to the Red, White and Buffalo Blues. Thank you for tuning in. Matt here as always, and Alex, welcome again. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm all right. I'm just sitting back enjoying all of this Antonio Brown news.
Well, it has been a whirlwind 36 hours, in my opinion, with obviously the preseason game on Thursday with the 24-16 win over the Colts, and a load of transactions. So I would say definitely say a whirlwind. World win 36 hours.
I mean, I haven't gotten very excited. It's preseason, so let's calm down. and all of the Bills transactions are a bunch of guys who are going to get cut, so let's calm down. Except, I mean, not Captain Munnerlyn. I mean, he's going to be our fourth DB on the team. But
That's a bold claim.
Fourth, fifth. I mean, he's going to make the team.
Mm.
Maybe he gets cut when EJ Gaines comes back, but because he's eligible to come back. But I mean, he'll be battling maybe for the fifth with Lafayette Pitts. But yeah, I would say that's the only noticeable player. We signed an offensive lineman 2 days later. We cut an offensive line, the same guy. So I mean, yeah. It's that time of year when it's just like, hey, we did a thing. Hey, we got rid of the same guy. I think. With Twitter, I'm ranting. I think with Twitter, anytime anything happens, the teams can make it sound like it's breaking news and special and important. And the Bills don't need to give me a trade alert for some fourth string defensive end.
Yeah. I mean, I've got the list down here of all the transactions that happened. As you say, Eli Harold... We traded our defensive end to the Philadelphia Eagles for offensive lineman Ryan Bates, a 22-year-old undrafted free agent from this year from Penn State. He's played guard and tackle at Penn State. LaDainian Waddle, he's been placed on IR with a torn quadriceps, which we wish him the best of luck in his recovery. And signed Rochester native Jerron Jones, a 25-year-old undrafted free agent from the New York Giants back in 2017, started off as a defensive tackle, switched to O-line. And more recently, we signed Sam Acho, a free agent who was the Cardinals' fourth-round pick in 2011.
I'm going to say Acho just to argue with you about it.
Acho?
I think it's Acho.
Oh, like Acho Cinco.
You could also sneeze, and that could probably be the exact same way to pronounce his name, so...
But I think most people, when we're on the chat on our group chat, were really happy when we signed Acho, and we found out that Vlad Dukas was released. I think there was a load of happy people about that.
And it's so funny to look at our offensive line from last year and realize how bad they really were.
Yeah.
I mean, what's his face is in Miami now? John Miller?
Jordan Mills,
yeah.
John Miller's gone to the Bengals.
Yeah. Just watching Mills' highlights, he has no highlights, he's an offensive lineman, but just watching the highlights from that game, him just getting pushed back and pushed back, that wasn't very good for him. And I mean, it's an interesting insight into a general manager, I think.
Yeah,
because financially, you know, you can't do everything in 1 year. This isn't mad, you know. Mm. But man, it's so interesting to just see how, like, last year it was let's put the defense together and forget about the offense. Do you know how hard that has to be to make that decision to essentially admit and commit to a throwaway season.
Mm.
I mean, they already agreed to start Nathan Peterman, which should get people fired.
On that Peterman thing, I saw a highlight, I think on Twitter or on NFL.com somewhere, of him actually going on a nice little tuck and run for the Raiders and everyone getting all hyped up about it.
It's always so good to see people be successful in the preseason.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, just with the decisions that Bean had, the hard decisions that they had to make last year, I mean, you have putting in Josh Allen is them saving face.
Mm.
You have to act like you're going to be competitive, even though you don't want to be, you know?
Yeah.
Or else then you lose the fan base.
Mm.
But
I mean,
if Peterman could have been a little bit better, then he would have started all season. And we would have went again to the same 6-10 probably record. But and I bet you they didn't want to play Josh Allen all year. They wanted him to just chill.
Mm.
Because of that offensive line, they knew that this year was going to be the offensive line year. How frustrating it must have been to be like, hey, I want to win, but I know we can't do it right now. Like, that sucks.
Yeah. I mean, the other transactions that we've had is, you mentioned him earlier, Captain Mullerlin, defensive tackle Roderick Young, and offensive lineman Demetrius Rani, all being signed. Roderick Young being an undrafted free agent this year. Out North Texas was previous on the Jacksonville Jaguars roster, and Demetrius Rani was a Hamilton Wildcat, released early August, but was a 7th round 2014 pick by the Rams. For those moves, they placed EJ Gaines on the IR with a core muscle strain, defensive tackle Robert Thomas with a knee injury on injured reserve, and a few days after signing him, releasing offensive lineman Nico Siragusa. So
thanks for coming.
It's been busy. It's been fun. Thank you for being there. You've had you had a bit of experience. I think Siragusa was part of that O-line that got Christian Wade his first touchdown on his only rush. So
think about being one of those players, right? You are decent in college, enough to get onto an NFL roster. You're living your dream, right? Mm. And then you get cut, and then you get picked up by another team, then you get cut. How long can the psyche handle that, you know?
Yeah.
Like, the guy who we just signed a week ago, then we just cut today, like, how does that person, like, say, I'm good enough to keep playing football? Like, that's the identifier for your career. You're not good enough to do this. Think of something else. But I mean, I could never say that about myself, because you should never give up, you know? Mm. I mean, it's a trait of winners, never give up. But, man, getting cut in 1 week, just like, remember we had Juwan Foggy on, and he was one of the earliest cuts on this team. You look at his highlight package, you look at, you know, his work ethic, you look at his statistics, that's a guy who you'd want to think could be on an NFL football team.
Yeah,
but he's one of the first guys to get cut, and it's like, oh, geez. I mean, that to be the first guy cut, that sucks.
Yeah,
I mean, you want to think you're good enough, and then that happens. I mean, how do you go to your next team? How do you still give 100% when you just have this feeling in the back of your head? You have this pit in your stomach that's like, I'm probably gonna get cut again.
Mm. I mean, with the Juwan Foggy cut, I'm still and. People heard me say this, and I'm saying this always, that I'm still a firm believer that he's going to make it in the NFL. He's going to be on a roster eventually. I think they released him earlier. Maybe he was a victim of numbers at the time, and they may, and this is what I'm praying. I'm actually hoping that they did say that we're going to release you, let you see if you can catch on to another team at the end of the cuts. If no one's got you, we're going to put you on the practice squad. Cause I do think they may have seen potential on there. There was a bit of praise for him. Yeah. I just think it was the numbers game on his occasion. I would actually write to Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott to actually say, put him on the practice squad.
Yeah. I mean, don't you think, what would you rather have on your roster? At backup linebacker, would you rather have a guy who has no ceiling? You know what you're going to get. He's going to be meh. That's fine. Or do you want to have a guy on your roster who has potential but could not be a great backup right now? I mean, that's the point of the practice squad, but the practice squad, anybody can get signed off of that. So, I mean, when we look at the 53-man roster later in this show, our backups are going to be guys who can be on special teams, but, I mean, how hard is special teams? Run fast, get around your blocker, and hit a guy. I think Juwan Foggy can do that. So, with him having probably more raw talent than Deion Lacey, I mean, you just want to think that you want guys with a higher ceiling. They might have a lower floor, but they have a higher ceiling. I would want those guys on my team as backups.
Yeah, I think with Juwan, let's say I'm always going to root for him whether he's on the Bills or not, because not only he's obviously a good player, he's a friend of the show. He's a great guy to actually to get to know. I think it's the experience he's obviously had. He transitioned from wide receiver to linebacker. He's obviously he was happy to play special teams. I say it may be the numbers. The Bills may have actually seen that he has got that potential. See if he does catch on.
Is Kyle Carter even still on our team?
I don't think so. Kyle Carter, tight end, wasn't he?
Yeah.
I think he still is.
Yeah.
I think he still is. I think he's actually. As we know, with these, with where we are and what we do, we can't really get too much of the lower third ranked teams.
Yeah, he's still on the team. I mean, that's one of those weird things too. I mean, is Kyle Carter a better special teams player than Juwan Foggy? I definitely think that Kyle Carter has a higher ceiling than Juwan Foggy does. So it'd be interesting to get. This is what I wish Embedded was. Stuff like this, conversations like this between the GM, the assistant GM, and all those guys, how they decide this stuff.
But so that's more like
that might be boring to most people, but I would love to work in a front office for a team, any sport. I know baseball, I know hockey, I know football. I would love to, just for a day, just see how decisions are made.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things. I mean, in that sense, where you're talking like the Embedded, do a bit more chat with GMs, coaches, and all that. Be more like they do in the Hard Knocks series, obviously excluding all the yes, you're cut and all that and all play, but they're actually just a discussion between coaches. Yeah, no, that'd be great to hear that. I mean, they've still got Keith Trowbridge on the roster.
That's a person.
That is someone that was on the team, got cut, or got brought back on, got cut again, badmouthed the team, I think, in a Twitter or Instagram post, and then being re-signed back on. I mean,
what dude's got junk to say. I don't know how much swearing I'm allowed on this show. Dude's got junk to say. Why would you bring him back? I mean, right? How many? We have 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We have 8 tight ends on the roster right now. Is that necessary?
Maybe, possibly, with the injuries so far to.
Oh yeah, I mean half of Knox. Kroom, Knox, Croft. Yeah, so that makes sense.
Yeah, I think if they were fit, I think you'll probably see. Possibly Nate Becker. Probably that's the only other one on there. You'll probably see him go with five tight ends on there.
You're not going to put Lee Smith in for passing plays, and you can't give all of the reps to Tommy Sweeney. So,
yeah.
Dude's got to get a break, so I get it. Yeah.
But it is what it is. I mean,
now. It's the same thing about having 12 running backs or however many we have right now.
Yeah. I mean, this is where the next few preseason games are going to really come into come into effect and see how these bubble players actually react, because we could have players that may surprise us, that we think, God, we haven't heard anything from him for the whole of preseason, the whole of training camp. Like, for example, you've got Cam Lewis, the cornerback from Buffalo, from the University of Buffalo. He's been running mainly with the thirds, getting the odd seconds in there.
Yeah.
Who knows? In the next three games, he may play lights out, and you're thinking, no one's picked up on him. He could actually make a run. He could be that player that takes that last spot.
Right. You know, I might be imagining this, but I remember a few years ago in the NFL when cuts didn't happen all at once.
Yeah.
You had to make certain cuts after week two, certain cuts after week three, then you can have your final cuts after week four of the preseason. I liked it better that way. It gave us a better idea of what the roster is going to be and just kind of getting on with it.
It also gives
there's obviously always every year talk about let's put two season games in and cut two preseason games and add an extra bye. I would love that. Go back to the time when you had more training camp time, more training camp practices, cut the preseason games, and let's get on with it. I mean, I'm not an impatient person, even though I 100% sound like one right now. I just think that I'm just hot about like all this just stupid roster transactions. Let's just play some football, meaningful football. I mean, remember we talked to Matt Fairburn about does the limited practice schedule now affect the undrafted rookies?
And yeah.
I think it does. I mean, Duke Williams is a guy who has played. He's been around. He should be doing better than he should. I don't know. I just think whenever I say something, I want to be right, so I'm sticking up for him. If he's bad, he's bad. So it is what it is. But whatever.
Yeah.
Let's talk about someone who is important, who can work on this team. I mean, I think obviously with Captain Munnerlyn, that's interesting because he's another Carolina Panther. I mean, I really think that the Bills have been gaining fans. Anybody who's frustrated with the Panthers of late can just become a Bills fan. They'll know our roster. I think that one at least is something. But in researching him, he's a very recognizable name. Like, I knew the name when I heard it, right? You think, I know that guy. He was good. No, he really wasn't. He had a good season in 2012, 13, and 14. By no means an all-star, no Pro Bowl, not even close. I was thinking, did he play in the 2015 Super Bowl? Nope, he was with Minnesota. I just think because his name is Captain, I remember him. But
aye, Captain.
Yeah. So, I mean, you hear a name that you recognize, and you're like, that's a guy. And, I mean, in his 10th season, he's at the end of the tank, you know, in terms of his ability. But I think he does stay on the team. I think he can do something in nickel and dime packages. So, I mean, to me, that's the only thing of note on these transactions.
Yeah. I mean, going on about training camp, I read earlier a post by Matt Parrino, another guy we interviewed, talk about it. And I think you mentioned to me before we went live about Isaiah McKenzie. Now, apparently he's showing buzz. He's actually gone taking a load of first team reps recently over Ray Ray McLeod, and you probably could be seeing that's the way they're trying to go with that last wide receiver spot. I mean, both McKenzie and McLeod, both a similar height, weight, probably the same sort of skill sets. You may be looking at them for a jet sweep, an end around, anything like that.
Jet sweep end around guy is going to be Andre Roberts.
Yeah.
Because they have been integrating him more into the offense, not just limiting him to special teams. So I think he's the guy who's shifty enough and fast enough to kind of do that.
Yeah.
I think since when we first started the show, it was all Duke Williams because he was kind of like not a big name signing, but he was the Bills finally signed a wide receiver. So we thought him, and then Embedded came out and we're like, oh my God, David Sills, this is going to be great. And So those two things aren't working out. And from our conversation with Matt Fairburn after the preseason game, I think it finally comes down to Isaiah McKenzie, Ray-Ray McCloud, and Cam Phillips for that last wide receiver spot.
Yeah. I mean,
but how much five wide receiver are we going to run, you know?
Yeah, it's not too many.
No.
So I think it's only if you get
who's good on special teams again.
Yeah. I mean, again, looking at Matt Perino's reviews on there, he's sort of echoing what Matthew Fairburn said to us a couple of days ago, where the backup center is going to be between Tenchi Long and Feliciano, and all signs positioning and going towards Feliciano. Obviously, he got the start rep against the Colts and has been getting really good reviews. So
yeah, it looks like another offensive lineman from last year is going to be gone soon, Russell Bodine. I mean, I haven't heard a single person, even if it's the drunk fan in row 31, say anything good about Russell Bodine. So
yeah,
no longer have to worry about that project at backup center. If Morse can't start the season, it's going to be Long or Feliciano, two guys who you shouldn't get excited about, but it's much better than Bodine.
Yeah.
When I was running my notes, keeps correcting to Iodine, which is just really frustrating for me. If I didn't catch it, we'd be talking about Russell Iodine right now, which is so yeah, I mean, that's another thing. This is what I mean. Good news like this. I want to get this team, this roster figured out, solidified, start to feel good about where we're going. Right now, 91 players. There's a lot of players who, congratulations, you made it this far, but this is as far as you're going to get. Let's get rid of these guys and let's move on.
I mean, another good thing about Russell Bodine, well,
what?
People say it's a good thing about Ross Bodine. He'll probably think it's a bit of a setback. Right. But reading another article today, and he's been listed as not in practice due to a oblique. I'm assuming the oblique is probably his chest, stomach. I don't know. They weren't that specific. They just goes center Russell Bodine oblique.
Yeah, I am not anywhere near a science major or a doctor, so I don't know what the oblique is either. I could Google it right now. I could. I'm not going to. We could even pause this podcast. We're not live. We can pause this podcast and cut back. Not going to do it. Don't care what an oblique is.
Well, you never know. You never know. One of our listeners will probably send us a tweet, send us a message saying, yeah, this is what the oblique is. So,
listeners, please send me pictures of what an oblique is. I really don't want to Google it.
But no, it's, I mean, we're getting to now to the meat, and grind of the preseason. So it's all on hand on deck. Let's see who shines out really for the final rosters. Cause say, on most of these, and looking at obviously with our 53-man roster, which we'll go into pretty much right now, we know
Before we get into that, I want to spend a minute on Antonio Brown.
Okay, here's your Antonio Brown rant. Here we go,
dude. It's you wanna. I just can't. I have ideas.
Can't take it seriously.
I have ideas, but they're all coming out at the same time. The man, you've seen what happens to players when their head gets hit. They kill themselves. They freak out. They turn into Richie Incognito.
Threaten to cut someone's head off.
Yeah, dude, put the helmet on. Such a prima donna baby. I mean, it's basically every time I turn Twitter on. Who turns Twitter? Every time I get on Twitter, I see Antonio Brown's name, and this is the first thing that I see and hear. I mean, Antonio Brown, I mean, dude, you're so good. You're so good at playing this game.
Yeah.
Just shut up and play the game.
You
already have all the money. Why do you need to be in the news about all the wrong things?
Yeah.
Again, is this a symptom? Is this an early symptom of CTE? I mean, could he have just already lost his mind? I mean, I remember a few games, one game in the playoffs a few years ago where he got hammered and he was out. And I mean, but just, did you see the picture going back before the helmet thing? I might have brought this up, but did you see the picture of his feet
from the I didn't see the picture. I do know about the frostbite thing, yeah.
Have you seen it?
No.
All right, I'm going to send it to you. Put it on the Twitter. Everyone's got to see this. It is a thing. I can't say it's awesome because it's not. I can't say it's gross because I can obviously look at it for a minute. But it's just, it's so Raider-y. It's so just Oakland. I mean, God, they're so great with Peterman and Gruden and just, oh, it's so much fun. A friend of mine back home is a giant Raiders fan. And whenever anything happens, we just text him, Raiders, and he gets it.
Yeah.
We don't need to do an LOL. We don't need to do any laughing emojis. We just say, Raiders. And he just says, yeah, F you. And it's so much fun. It's so much fun. Okay, rant over. Are you there? Did your computer break?
And we do apologize there for any technical hitches that you may have experienced. I think it was either the weather, or I just had enough of Alex's rant about Antonio Brown aside to end it right there. Who knows?
I don't blame you. My wife is in Ireland right now because I'm pretty sure she just had to get away from me talking about Antonio Brown's feet.
Well, yeah, you may have a bit of a feet fetish.
No. Oh, I don't want to become that guy. No, I'm not Rex Ryan. I just, you know what it is? Blame Deadspin. I just love it whenever they do anything silly like this, and their headline for that was just was gold. So I gravitate to that stuff.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, we're moving on. Let's go on to the 53-man roster now. We've gone through all the other positions. We're now on to the linebacker stage. So we know that the first three are probably all set in stone. You got Tremaine Edmonds, Matt Milano, and Lorenzo Alexander. It's the last positions which are going to be the easier ones to, or not the easier ones, the more difficult ones to understand.
Yeah.
I mean, looking at it and looking from what I've listened to previously on previous podcasts, obviously, as you mentioned, all your backups, whether they be wide receiver, linebacker, safety, cornerback, or anything like that, they should be able to play special teams. Now, I'm just going off what I've heard from different podcasts, different reviews, that you're potentially looking at maybe the likes of Corey Thompson, who has been getting first team reps at linebacker, Maurice Alexander, who again can play linebacker, safety, and has played with the first unit on the special teams. And obviously you can't forget Voshon Joseph, who obviously is a draft pick. He apparently had a really good debut against the Colts. And has also been trying his hand at middle linebacker as well. So obviously trying to see if he can find a niche on the team or be that versatile guy that can play across all three.
You have to positions. If you're a backup, you have to be able to hit every position.
Mm.
You never know what could happen. You want to be the first guy up, you know?
If
Milano goes down, you want to be the first guy. If you play middle or right linebacker, you want to be the guy who plays left. If Edmonds goes down, heaven forbid, knock on wood, every other kind of superstitious thing, because he's the anchor there, I think. You don't want to be like, oh, I can't play middle. You don't want to be that guy. So it's good that he's trying that.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, one name that we've forgotten to mention who possibly is going to be that lock for at least the fourth place is Julian Stanford. Now, obviously, he played a big role last year, well, a big-ish role last year in relief. He has been the middle linebacker last year, so obviously he's got the inside track at the moment. It's now just up to the rest to actually battle out for what potentially would be two spots.
Yeah, like you said, these spots are how good of a backup can you be and how good are you on special teams? Mm. So I think Deion Lacey has an edge because he's been on special teams for the last 2 years. But if Maurice Alexander can figure out how to do that as well, I think he's got more talent than Deion Lacey, so he could be the guy there. Vosan Joseph, I've read and heard things that they're really thinking that he could be the replacement for Lorenzo Alexander maybe next year, whenever Lorenzo decides to hang it up. It comes down to what I was talking about when I was ranting about Juwan Foggy. It's high ceiling guys, versatile guys. You want to be able to play special teams and backup and have enough where the coaches see that you haven't peaked already.
Yeah. I mean, another name that could potentially make a late break, depends on how well he does in the available time he has during the preseason games, Tyrell Dodson out of Texas A&M. I think about a few weeks back he was having personalized one-to-one coaching and advice from Sean McDermott himself, so maybe he's seen something or there's something in him that, just given the opportunity, given the break he has, getting him getting that extra tuition, that maybe he's the dark horse for that final spot, maybe.
Right. So but what do you think? Well, I mean, what do we think the Bills are going to do here?
I think based on what they've actually been running with the first unit on the special teams, I think it's going to be obviously Edmonds, Milano, Lorenzo Alexander. I think Julian Stanford, Corey Thompson, and I would probably say Maurice Alexander over Vosan Joseph. I think at the moment, unless obviously Vosan Joseph has been playing special teams, I think even though he is a draft pick, he may be on the outside looking in, unless obviously he has been playing special teams, that maybe that'll give him the edge over Alexander due to him being a pick of Bina McDermott.
I think that if we cut Vosan Joseph, he does not last on our practice squad. Someone will get him. Someone will very, very quickly sign him from our practice squad. I think for Corey Thompson, Deion Lacey, Julian Stanford, Mo Alexander, Tyrell Dodson, I think if those guys make the practice squad, I think they stay there.
Yeah.
Obviously you can't carry that many guys on the practice squad. It's only going to probably be one of them. But I think you keep Vosan Joseph on the roster because you can protect him. And then any of the other guys make it to the practice squad because no one else is going to really want them.
Yeah. So, yeah, it will be down to what they could believe could actually happen. I mean, I agree. It might be a case that regardless whether Joseph has played special teams or not in the preseason, I would probably tend to lean towards Joseph as, say, this is probably me putting my hat on for the 53 with Alexander, just again, because of the versatility, being in the league for a bit longer, but obviously having that special teams ability. But I can now see your point that if he is the case that he gets cut, it's more likely he was fifth round. So you know there will be other teams looking at him thinking, damn, we should have jumped ahead of the Bills. So yeah, I think in that instance, I think the Bills probably would take Joseph over Maurice Alexander. I think it's always one of those ones where you're thinking, do we risk cutting him and letting him test free agency, or are you going to just go, yep, screw it, let's get him on there, let's get him, even if he's going to be sitting for a while and doesn't play special teams, are you going to risk, you're just going to give him there for the experience, or are you going to risk him testing the market, see if you can potentially stash him on the practice squad and see if you can keep him there for a couple of weeks until he learns a bit more, then get him up. But I can see them going with now with Joseph, just for the reasons of he will be picked up by someone over over Maurice Alexander.
So it really comes down to what do you think is going to happen roster wise? If you put a guy, if you cut a guy, I mean, if you want to keep him, do you have to keep him on the 53? How good are they at special teams, and how far along are they in their actual position, which is linebacker? Because Milano is very risky right now.
Mm.
They say that he was not running 100% in the preseason game. He didn't look like himself yet.
Yeah. So
there might be a little bit there. And, you know, obviously in the NFL, I mean, injuries can happen anywhere, anytime. I don't think there's such a thing as injury prone. I mean, you might look at some guys and say they are, but I don't think that's really a thing. I mean, the human body is the human body, and I can't imagine one guy's more injury prone than the other. But
yeah.
So then, what are you saying? Who's we obviously have the three locks. Who are the three backups? And are you only keeping one? Are you only keeping three backups, or is it four?
I'm going with three.
Same. Okay.
Yeah, I think with some of the plays that they'll bring in, and they at times last season they've played with just Edmonds and Milano as the linebackers. They've had Alexander with his hands in the dirt. Mm-hmm. I think there've been times where they've played the two linebackers. I can see them only really keeping six.
Yeah. So you can bring Jerry Hughes back, right? You can move him back to linebacker. Jerry Hughes played linebacker, right?
I think he has played a bit of linebacker,
played linebacker. So with Shaq Lawson and with Mike Love being decent, you know, you might be able to, in case of injury, bring Jerry Hughes back, and then you're okay still.
Yeah. I mean, that's the beauty, I think, of McDermott's defense now is that Jerry Hughes can, Lorenzo Alexander, they can rush you standing up. They can rush you with a hand in the ground. They can move along that line, drop back, and make it difficult for the offensive line to pick up. So, yeah, I think the versatility of players dropping back or dropping forward will help, obviously, in other positions, freeing up those roster spots for something that's potentially a bit more needy, like wide receiver and tight ends, the ones that are going to get the main contact when they're running with the ball and potentially with the head off the catches and injuries there. So making more space and room for those roster spots. Then you've got the defensive line and linebackers where they can interchange and the formation can change with the situation.
Exactly.
So I mean,
this is the hardest thing ever since we started this series. This is the hardest thing to predict. A, guys that we have not seen a lot of.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not at training camp. There's only so little video available. It's basically just it's gut plus what other people are saying that have been there versus what we think the Bills think and need.
So yeah.
I'm sticking with my original three. Julian Stanford, because he's played middle linebacker, and that's the most important position on the defense. Deion Lacey for his special teams history. Same with Julian Stanford. And Voshan Joseph for his higher ceiling.
Okay, I'll give you five of those six.
Okay. It's
Deion Lacey one, I'm still oohing ahhing about. I mean, yeah, I'm going off. I know Thompson has played a bit of special teams last year, and the fact that he's been getting more first team reps and second team reps than Dion Lacey at the moment and running with the first team special teams unit, I'm just looking at that from the coach's point of view. She's saying we're getting a good productivity out of him. And I think that he would be that one. He may at the moment have that leg up over Dion Lacey. I think if it was the other way around, I mean, with Corey Thompson, let's say, can play special teams. Dion Lacey is mainly primarily a special teams player who can plug in if needs be. I think what they see in Thompson is that he's younger. He has played special teams. And they seem to like him a little bit because he's been running with the first on a fair few occasions and mainly been with the second. So I think they see something in him that, yes, for the time being, he contribute on special teams. But it's what the age and the experience he's actually gaining and what they see the potential-wise, they think, okay, he's what, 6-7 years younger than Dion Lacey, maybe a bit more. Mm-hmm. He's got that more potential. We can stash him on the special teams and work him in occasionally into that rotation. So I would probably say that it would be Corey Thompson over Dion Lacey. I think, as you were saying earlier, it's the ceiling. Dion Lacey has hit that ceiling.
Yeah, good point. He
won't go any further.
Yeah.
Corey Thompson, he's just scratching the surface.
Right.
So that's me, not with my hat on.
Mm-hmm.
That's me with my Sean McDermott, Brandon Bean hat on.
I think the Bills are thinking differently. I think the idea is that last year our special teams was awful.
Mm.
So I want the guys on special teams who can play the best. Because, you know, you and I, we shouldn't care about special teams. It's not important. But for some other reason, I mean, especially with the new rules, with the kickoffs at the 35-yard line now.
Yeah.
But these guys, they're old school. Special teams matters. Oh, my God. Kick the ball through the end zone and let's get on with it.
I think
it's more important for punts because
it's not Madden.
You can't cough and corner it every time.
Yeah.
So that is sure that's important, but it's not as important. I mean, you listen to if you can get WGR 550, you can listen to Mike Shope talk about how just go for it on fourth down. It's just as good as a punt.
Mm. Yeah.
You know,
I think
if you throw a 30-yard interception, sorry, interrupt. If you throw a 30-yard interception, it's the same as a punt.
Yeah.
So on every fourth down, just Hail Mary it. And eventually a team would catch on and just knock it down. But, you know, guys, they love their stats. They'll just go for the interception. Obviously, there's no data on that to back it up. But, strictly the Bills probably thinking, let's be fundamental. Let's be conservative. Let's have the best special teams we can. So that's why I argue for Dion Lacey.
Okay. I think we're both going to have a difference of opinion on the last spot. I've just had a thought. We put it to Twitter and Facebook.
Of course, yeah.
We put it to listeners. So when listeners listen to this, listen to our bid for each player, put them in the driving seat. And as if they were Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott, which one of Corey Thompson and Dion Lacey would you take? And we'll make them the final man roster on the linebackers. I think that probably be the only way we can solve this, because I think we're just going to go back and forth.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not moving on it, so.
Yeah.
Okay. I am being stubborn in my defense of special teams. Ugh. I'm everything that I hate.
Okay. We'll put it to the listeners.
Yeah.
Get them choose what they think the Bills will do with that final linebacker spot. So you got Alex going for Dion Lacey, me for Corey Thompson. So we'll let the best backup linebacker win.
Yes. So let's move on to something more fun.
Yes.
Let's talk about the all-time linebackers.
Yes. First and foremost, I've got to release the results of the previous. So we've actually gone for the defensive ends and defensive tackles, and it was my selection that won it this time. The fans spoke, the listeners spoke, and it's Bruce Smith, Carl Williams, Marcel Darius, and Aaron Schobel as your defensive line.
I mean, I did say that I should have done that too, so...
So we're back to a level again, because was it?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So
this was harder than I thought.
Yeah.
Because you obviously have Daryl Talley and Cornelius Bennett, right?
Yes. Yeah. I agree. There's no. I don't think anyone else can come in between those two. That's right. For sure.
So let's just tell if we have any new Bills fans, you recognize the names from the Super Bowl years. Let me just tell you how good they were. Daryl Talley, 188 games played for the Bills, most all-time at the linebacker position. Dude started every game, every year for the Bills. That's so difficult to do with such a physical position. Two Pro Bowls, should have had three other ones if you ask me. Second most all-time sack leader by a Bills. When you look at Pro Football Reference, it has Jerry Hughes in there as second, but most of his came at defensive end.
Yeah. And
Talley has the most tackles by a Bills linebacker by a wide margin. Wide margin. Talley has 1,128 combined tackles. Cornelius only has 793. I mean, not only, but I mean, that just shows you how Buffalo Daryl Talley really is.
Yeah.
And then Bennett, who came over from it was the Falcons, right?
I think so, yeah.
Five Pro Bowls, 1988 first team All Pro, most sacks by a Bills linebacker all time, and I think the great honor of being AFC Defensive Player of the Year twice in 88 and 91.
Mm.
So I mean, those guys are obviously Bills Wall of Famers. I mean, those guys are legends, but the third linebacker spot. There's some guys that come to mind, but
Kelvin Shepherd,
obviously. who do you have?
Well, it was going to be I think it was going to be Kelvin Shepherd. No. Maybe Andre Davis. No, Brandon Spikes. Maybe
just making up names.
Preston Brown.
Sure.
I've gone with London Fletcher.
You know, with London Fletcher, because I knew you were going to say that, London Fletcher was great. We should have kept him.
Mm.
Why did we let him go? Can you remember any reason behind that?
Not off the top of my head, no.
I mean, money, whatever. I mean, that was one of the better defenses that the Bills have ever had with him and Spikes. I mean, he went on to play 7 years in Washington. And Remember the approximate value rating that I talked about for defensive players. He had his 6 best years in Washington.
Mm.
Why did we let him go? If he stays with us for 4 more years, he's on my list as well.
Yeah,
I think not have let him go.
I think it was the end of his contract, and I think he decided to sign with Washington to a $25 million contract over 5 years. I think it was potentially
matched that. You think? Yeah. Are you going to tell me that he thought Washington was going to be better than us?
Mm.
We both sucked.
Yeah.
There's no upside there. I mean, he made 4 Pro Bowls with Washington, not us. We should have kept him.
Yeah. I think what I like about him is, I mean, he was third in the combined tackles behind both Talley and Cornelius Bennett with 725 combined tackles, 232 of those assisted, 37 tackles for a loss, 3 quarterback hits, 14.5 sacks. For a middle linebacker, 14.5 sacks means that your defensive line did something right that actually able him to get through.
He spent 5 years with us, 7 with Washington, and he had more sacks with us than he did with Washington.
Yeah.
So that says something about his time with us.
Yeah. I mean, it's, he was also good at run stopping, obviously, with the tackles for the loss on that. You've got to give it to that, that you are going to get teams nowadays that are going to start running more. Maybe obviously throwing as well, but you always have to stop the run game before you can stop the passing game.
Yep.
Because if you lock down the running back or the wide receivers and tight ends, and you can get that running back tackled behind the line of scrimmage or for about 2 or 3 yard gain, you've got that momentum with you to do it. And I think with London Fletcher, not only obviously we know he can tackle, obviously third all time, he's got those tackles for a loss in there and the sacks. He also managed to nab 5 interceptions, taking one back for a touchdown.
Yeah.
Which is only just behind Cornelius Bennett with 6 and Ken Lee.
He only though makes my honorable mention list.
Yeah.
Because I have a guy who, if we set back the clock a bit, is a legend in the AFL. My third linebacker is Mike Stratton. Look him up on YouTube. Watch the highlight of what was called at the time the hit heard around the world. In the 1964 AFL Championship game against the Chargers, dude absolutely leveled their running back. Turned the tide, won us the championship game. Excellent stuff. 6 straight All-Star games, 3 straight first-team All-Pro selections, 142 starts for the Bills, which puts him third most all-time behind Talley and Bennett. So that is my selection for all-time linebacker. That's back when, you know, you always talk about, the toughness, the 60s, blah, blah, blah. But, yeah, just the hit he put on it. Dude broke his ribs. He ended his game. Knocked him out of the game. Massive hit. Something that is a legal hit back then. Still would be today, you know. You see linebackers now go for tackles where they just kind of like want to punch someone. They want to like shove them, you know.
Yeah.
They run up and go for that big Madden hit stick move. This dude went for a wrap tackle, and he just obliterated him. It was fantastic.
So okay.
Never heard of Mike Stratton. Hit him up on YouTube. The hit heard around the world, 1964.
Okay, so we've got those. Let's say we have honorable mentions as well. I think you've gone through a few. I've gone through a few on there.
Fletcher makes my honorable mention list. Takeo Spikes, just because his name is awesome. I mean, he was good/average with us.
Yeah.
The guy who played with Talley and Bennett, Shane Conlon, and another legend, Stu Barber, 5-time Pro Bowl, 2-time first-team All-Pro.
Nigel Bradham, maybe, for the younger listeners.
I need a new co-host.
Really? Oh, man. It's so good. We're trying to reach out to the youngsters, trying to get the youngsters in. Oh, how about, don't cross the moats.
One of the things that no one mentions about Arthur Motes, dude ended Brett Favre's career.
Yep.
When we played against the Vikings, he had that hit where he got him from behind. Brett Favre never was able to play a full, meaningful game where he was an X factor anymore.
Yeah.
So that's good stuff.
So he gets the honorable mention just for that.
Yes, absolutely. To end the second best quarterback in statistical NFL history,
okay, so we'll put this to again onto Twitter. So we both have Cornelius Bennett, both have Dal Telly. Oh, good God, I'm doing it again. I'm making up names again.
It's not even like it's 1 a.m. or anything. It's like 9:30. So what are you doing? Are you drunk?
No.
On a Sunday?
Not yet.
Love Island is over, right? So you shouldn't be that drunk.
Yeah, no. I think it's not preseason. We're not in the preseason game yet, so I'm not that drunk either. Right. I just think let's just put it down to it's nighttime.
Yeah, it's all right. I mean, you have kids, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't. So I blame just it's the kids that does it to you.
Yeah. Especially when they stay up late at night and don't come back till God knows what time in the morning.
Uh oh.
Yeah, for a 15-year-old, yeah.
Uh oh.
But for
we don't have this isn't a parenting podcast, so.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Yeah,
anyone got any suggestions, please do let me know.
Yeah.
So we've both got Bennett and Daryl Talley.
There it is.
There we go. Yes, he's done it right. And I have London Fletcher as my third, and you have Mike Stratton as your middle one. So
Buffalo Sports Hall of Famer. So I mean he definitely has been recognized. Just a name that a lot of guys do tend to forget.
Yeah. I think let's say what we've seen not only with some of the picks and some of the choices that we've had throughout us doing this 53-man roster, you are gonna get a vast mixture. Some people may not know, especially in the offensive line, maybe the wide receivers, and may not know the older generation from the old AFL days and early days, and they're more used to the modern day, so to speak, Bill. So I do like us doing this, and obviously people do give us our suggestions, and that's why you've put the others category on there to even hear people's views and see what happens. So I do
if
love.
If anybody sends in Puzzlesny, just block them on Twitter, please.
I thought that was if they were doing someone else like Keith Ellison.
Oh Jesus, yeah. I mean, you haven't given me the login details for the Twitter, so you still only control that. So
I trust you
to do the right thing.
Kiko Alonso. No.
All right, yeah, you know what? Oh, man, I bought my wife a Kiko Alonso jersey because I'm like, he's going to be great. And then we traded him, and I was like, God damn it.
And now we all hate him.
And now it's like, you know, I want to – yeah, and I bet you if he stayed on our team and still played like a shitbag like he does, I would hate him still. Mm-hmm. It's like that – but it is that thing, like, you know, in hockey – I think it happens more in hockey. And I asked this to the Bengals guy. With Vontaze Burfict, it was like guys who are like that, you love him on your team, but you hate him if he's on another team.
Yeah.
And that's Kiko Alonso. But I was like, oh, sweetie, I'm going back to Buffalo in September. Let me take your jersey and I'll get it switched. Let me look at the roster. Voshan Joseph. Yeah, I'm not going to do that. So she still has a Kiko Alonso jersey, and it's probably going to stay like that for a bit. I should just buy her another jersey.
Yeah, I think that might be the right get an Ed Oliver one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's or a maybe. Good question. Real quick. If you had to buy one jersey right now, who would it be?
Well, from the roster we have right now.
Yeah, not Josh Allen.
It's not Josh Allen.
Yeah, pick one on offense and one on defense.
Defense, I would go Matt Milano.
All right.
Honorary mention to Jordan Poyer on that one.
Yeah.
Offense, just because he's a Brit, okay, he'll probably be on the practice squad. I would get a Christian Wade one.
I don't blame you. I bet you he sold a lot of jerseys this week.
I think he may have.
That would be good stuff, yeah. I would say on defense for me, I love the veteran guys. So for me, it's my name. So I would go with a Lorenzo Alexander jersey.
Yeah.
Honestly, this is another thing that you might Trey White.
Yeah.
I mean, that dude is a lot of fun.
Yes.
There's a friend of mine at work who doesn't know very much about NFL football, but she used to have a huge crush on Odell Beckham. But when he got traded, she was like, oh, I need a new man. And today she comes up to me. She's like, oh, man, Josh Gordon. I was like, what? The dude's an addict. Calm down. Calm down. So I said, look at my team. Let's try and find you a hottie on the Bills to fall for. And she couldn't pick anyone.
Yeah.
I mean, my vote for her was Micah Hyde. She said, okay, maybe, but she didn't like the beard. and she said that Josh Allen looks like he's 12 years old. So
yeah.
I couldn't lock down a new Bills fan today.
Yeah.
Pretty disappointing. But yeah, on offense for me, I probably would go with, and you know, that's tough outside of Zay Jones, because I mean, I'm not locking in a LeSean McCoy jersey.
Yeah.
A Frank Gore jersey would be pretty cool.
But, Devin Singletary?
Yeah, you know, it was going to be between Devin Singletary or Zay Jones, but I don't know how long those guys will be Bills for. I don't see Zay Jones being a lifelong Bill. And, you know, Devin Singletary, who knows yet, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I have a Fred Jackson jersey, and I think I can wear that for eternity.
Yep.
And get away with it. So, but yeah, that's interesting.
I mean,
just a little thing.
I do want to know what our listeners would do as well, so I'll put a post up as well and say, if you were to get one jersey on the offense and defense for the Bills on the current roster, so the 91-man roster, we're not talking about anyone that was on there and cut or could be cut on the 91, who would it be? And we'll see if we can get the results up on the next episode.
I mean, with how much you cared about the punter question to Matt Fairburn, I'm surprised you don't have a Corey Bohorquez jersey. So, big punter fan over here. So,
well, I'm still undecided. I think I might attempt to get a Corey Carter one.
Oh Jesus!
Yeah, I think both of them had that. No. I'm gonna leave that. We'll leave that for the special team, the kicker and the punter show. I think we could get over the whole episode between us on kickers and punters.
Yep, that's a minimum 2-hour long show.
Oh yeah, of course.
Yes.
Anyway, so I'll put that up about what jerseys you'd get. I'll also put up the question which linebacker core do you guys like? Coming up on future episodes, obviously we're gonna try and get a couple more interviews with a few more Bills reporters, something that we're working on. Hopefully we'll be doing a couple more specials, getting a few more of the Bills opponents on to chat and sit those through, and we just enjoy and roll through the preseason, where it's getting closer and closer to the season starting. So it's all hands on deck, I think.
Yep.
So I think, unless you have anything else, you want to go for another rant, or we're going to leave the rants for another episode.
No, my favorite band, The National, is live streaming a concert right now, so I think now is a good time to end it.
Fair enough. Okay, so on that note, then, so we can get Alex away to watch a stream of his favorite band. It's for this time. Until next time, good evening, good afternoon. Thank you for listening. Keep subscribing, reviewing, and go Bills.
Go Bills.
Not us.
Yeah, not us.
You don't know anything about heart. You don't know anything about work.
No. Huh? That's who we are.
Bills on 3. 1, 2, 3.